game recaps, athlete interviews, and everything high school baseball, softball, and lacrosse. It's Bats and Sticks with Dave Rudin, live on the Voice of Connecticut, WICC 600 and 95.9.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the final episode of the season of Bats and Sticks. I'm Dave Rudin. You're brought to you by Dutchess Restaurants. Fresh food, served fast. For a lot of people, yesterday will be remembered as the night the Knicks won the NBA championship for the first time in 53 years. In Fairfield County, it's in Darien, it's the day the girls lacrosse team won their 14th state title. In Westport, third title under Coach Jack McFarland during his 20-year career for the Rutgers baseball team. And we're going to feature both teams today on the show. Joining us a little bit, we're going to have Staples relief pitchers Charlie Fitch and Lucas Snow, who did an absolute brilliant job in yesterday's 3-2-8 inning win over Trumbull. And we're going to close out the show with the team. I think if I had to give a Rudin Report award for the best team in 2025-2026, it's the Darien girls lacrosse team. Undefeated season, 22-0. They're going to end up finished as the number two team in the country. 14th state title, and joining us will be captains Anna Von Kennel, Jane Slaneski, Haven Moneypenny, and Cameron Picorni. But we're going to start off the beginning of the show with baseball, and joining me, as always, my co-host, Sean Ratchford. Ratch, how you doing?
I'm doing extremely well. You had a little excitement you got to see yesterday, and you got one more still in the tank.
Yep, I was coming up, and it's kind of a fitting way to end the sports year, a Darien-New Canaan game, and it's going to be in boys lacrosse, and 3 o'clock I'll be over at Rafferty Stadium at Fairfield U. It should be a lot of fun, but I talked to you, Ratch, on the ride in here. We talked all year about how baseball's not a single elimination sport. And yesterday we saw a team that got knocked out in the first round of one tournament win a championship in the second. And hats off to Staples. A strange game, an exciting game, an interesting game. But, you know, it's real hard in single elimination play to win 5 games over 2 weeks, and Staples was able to do it.
Again, you hit it right on the head. Baseball is unlike any sport. In basketball, you know that Brunson's probably going to get the last shot. In football, you know they're going to try to hit the big-time receiver. But baseball, who's up is who's up. And what I loved about all the quotes that I've read from the Staples kids, from Jack, is that they trust each other, they rely on each other. And you talk about a young man that hit a ground ball that could easily, jog to first base. He busted it to first, safe, game over. So hats off to them, hats off to their coaches. Not to take anything away from Phil. Phil's team played hard to get the big homer in the seventh. And you think, oh, boy, now we got it. But baseball is funny. And, you know, Staples made Moore's plays, and they got it done.
Yeah, Staples 3 times took one-run leads, and Trumbull was able to answer 2 of the times. And the way Trumbull's season's gone and the resilience they've shown in extra innings coming from behind, and think back to the first round of the FCAC playoffs against Norwalk, when Norwalk scored 4 runs in the top of the eighth or ninth, I can't remember now, and Trumbull came back, tied the game, and then won it. And when Braden Jago hit that one-out homer in the seventh inning to tie the game at 2, I think everybody thought this was going to be Trumbull's coronation. But credit to Staples and credit to their relief pitching. And our two guests that are going to be coming up did a brilliant job, Lucas Snow and Charlie Fitch, combined over 5 innings just to give up the one run, the home run, and 3 hits. And I was interested in, and there were 2 reasons for this, but in the 8th inning when Jack was going to make a pitching change, I think everybody thought Bruce Schlegelmilch, who has been their top starter all year, was going to come in, and it was kind of twofold. If he had come in and he was designated hitter for the catcher, They would have had to make two moves, and you're not taking your catcher out. But Charlie Fitch only pitched one inning during the postseason, but I think people forgot that he had an outstanding regular season. He appeared in nine games, started 5-4-1 record, and it's a testament to Charlie and a great move by Jack that he brought him in, and he came in and won 2-3 inning and closed out the game.
And sometimes you get that situation as a coach. As much as we have a bigger roster than they have at the college and they have in the pros, one move will lean to you. Move will mean that you got to take a couple guys out. He brings in Fitch. Now, as you said, had a great regular season. He could have been sitting there on the bench. Boy, I should have been playing more. No, he comes in. He's a team player. He gets the job done. That's a testament to him as a young man, his parents, that he's ready. I'm ready. I'm not going to sit there and mope about that I didn't get more time. I'm ready when my team needs me.
I agree. You never heard him complain. He was ready to go whenever he was called on. How tough a situation is that when you've pitched one inning over 2 or 3 weeks and now you're being asked to close out the state championship game?
It's hard, and that's one of the things I want to hear from him. I want to hear about his mindset going to the bullpen. How early did he get up? Had he been up earlier? Had he been up in the sixth to seventh when Trumbull had the bases loaded, you know, fourth, fifth, and sixth? Was he up earlier? Because then it's hard. You get him up, you get him hot, and then they got to sit and they got to go down. So I can't wait to hear what he has to say about that and how he prepared for it, because all of us, Dave, we're all in our backyard. We all hit that big game home run. We all hit that three-point shot to win it. We scored that touchdown. Who comes in and dreams of closing a game as a pitcher? We don't. That's not part of our how we do with things. So this is tremendous. I can't wait to hear this.
No, it's a great story. I wrote my column primarily about him, and you know, to be the guy that's on the mound for the last out, and there are indelible moments and memories in sports. And the classic one is the last out of a championship baseball game and the pitcher and catcher getting together on the mound. And it was just a great dog pile at the end where I think he was greeted first by Jules Cicero, the second baseman. And then they started falling over and then they were steamrolled by the rest of their teammates.
You had Cole's brother Chase, who made the big catch in the warning track, have to run in and get to that pile. That was pretty cool.
Yeah. He had to run a long way to get the last two outs of the games, and he had to run a long way to get to join the celebration. Before we talk a little bit more about Staples, you have to tip your hat to Trumbull, and I hope it's painful right now. It was painful yesterday. It's going to be painful for a couple of days. But you gotta appreciate, they have to appreciate what they accomplished this year. To win a league championship and get to the state final, they had opportunities. They left 10 runners on base the first five innings, and that, I think, ultimately was the downfall. And also, again, a testament to Staples' relief pitching. But what they accomplished all year and beating Fairfield Prep twice, those were the Jesuits' only two losses, and beating them in the semifinals, they had an unbelievable season.
They did. And if you told Phil and Buddy and T that they would be in a state final, they win an FCAC championship, knowing that their number one would be out for the season and number two would not come back to the end, they would have looked at you like you were a little bit crazy. I loved what Phil said. You know, the kids never quit all year. And as time goes on, you hope that they appreciate everything they accomplished, because, again, it's about how they went about it. It's about the process. You have a young man that played basketball. I'm going to go and get myself ready to play college basketball, comes back, and was a huge part of their season. You have kids that gave up positions to pitch. Again, hopefully down the line they can appreciate what they've done. But today it's going to be a tough, tough pill to swallow. You think about, oh, we could have done this, you know, again, as you said, fourth inning, fifth inning, sixth inning, bases loaded, and all year they were able to do it. But that's the hard part of baseball. You hit a hard ball in baseball, it can be a hit. You hit a hard ball in baseball, it can be a double play. So,
Pulp Fiction's my favorite movie, so I've loved this angle. But you had Vincent Vega in the semifinals against Ludlow, down 3-1. They came back and won 8-3, and he jump-started the rally with a two-run single and then later added a two-run double. And then if you have a Vincent Vega, you have to have a Jules on the team. And I just want to talk for a second about Jules Cicero. He singled on the first pitch of the game yesterday. That was his 50th hit of the year. That's averaging two hits a game. That's not easy to do. Averaging one hit a game is hard to do. Averaging two?
Well, the mindset is even better. When your team knows that your guy goes up there and you have a chance to already have a runner on base, and even if he doesn't get on base, he hard hits the ball and he comes back and tells his team, hey, we got this guy. Because you're going to believe what he says. I love leadoff players that have swagger. Again, a humble gentleman off the field, but swagger on the field. Guys, we got this guy. Look, I got two hits and we can do this. So two hits for each of those guys, that's, again, great year for him. 50 hits is unbelievable.
Yeah, tip of the hat to him. There's so many great stories with Staples and so many great stories this past week. And we've been talking about Charlie Fitch, and we're going to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to talk to him. You're listening to Bats and Sticks on WICC.
Everything you need to know about high school baseball, softball, and lacrosse. The Rudin Report presents Bats and Sticks with Dave Rudin. Now on WICC 600 and 95.9, the voice of Connecticut.
Okay, we're back. Staples with a 3-2 win over Trumbull in eight innings yesterday. And I think the two heroes of the game with great relief pitching were Lucas Snow, who's going to join us in a little bit. And our guest right now came in, closed out the game with a 1-2-3 inning, Charlie Fitch. Charlie, how you doing?
Great. Thank you so much for having me on.
Thanks for coming on. You've had not quite 24 hours to digest this. What's been going through your mind?
Yeah, it's a great feeling. It still really hasn't clicked in that banner will be hanging on in our left field forever. So that'll be great to see next year, and just great feeling overall.
How many times have you watched the video of you throwing your glove up into the air in the dog pile after so far?
Yeah, I'd be lying if I didn't say it was two times on repeat, knowing the same thing will go, but it's just a once-in-a-lifetime feeling.
Well, you're going to be watching a long time going forward, and deservedly so. What's your mindset when you're walking out to the mound in the eighth inning and you hadn't pitched as much in the postseason, not because of anything you'd done wrong, but just because of the pitching depth with Cole Landgraf coming back, and he started the game yesterday, but you're walking out into the mound and your coach is giving you the ball to save the state championship?
Yeah, first off, as I'm walking out, Mason Tobias comes up to me, just gives me like a 15-second pep talk, and he's been a great leader all year, so that instilled some good confidence in me. And then after that, it was just get three outs. It doesn't really matter how you do it, just do it. And coaches have trusted me to get out the entire year, and I just had to get it done.
What did Mason say to you?
He was just like, don't listen to the crowd, just focus on the catcher, just throw strike, do what you've been doing all year, and just don't make the moment too big for you. And then he was just talking about the excitement that will happen once we win.
How great is that feeling? I don't even know if you can remember what's going through your mind when Chase catches that final out. And baseball, we always remember the celebration, and it focuses on the pitcher and the catcher. What was going through your mind? You reacted great. That throwing the glove up into the air was you get a 10 on that reaction. But what's going through your mind?
Yeah, once the ball's hit, I knew it was deep, and then I saw Chase Landgraf put his arm out, and I knew the second that he did that, the ball was in the park, and then I just locked eyes with Jules, who I've been playing with for years of my life, and we just jumped up, and then everyone else dogpiled. So It was a great feeling.
I don't think anybody could handle the situation you were put in better than you did, where you get a pitcher back, so all the pitchers know it's going to probably mean fewer innings, and you didn't get to pitch as much, not because you had pitched poorly, but just because of the situation. And, you know, another player maybe doesn't take it that way and becomes a disruptive factor. And I covered the team a lot. You could tell your mindset was just, I'm ready to go whenever I get the call.
Yeah, the entire year, our Monday, Wednesday, Friday guy was me, Bruce, and Lucas. And we knew that Cole was coming on the back end, so we were cognizant that for the state run, you're going to get it's a two tournament starting pitcher tournament where every pitcher goes every other game, and me and Lucas knew that we'd be out the pen, and we just wanted to win. Really, none of us really care about who gets the ball to start. We just care about the outcome.
Well, you two were brilliant. Rats, jump on in there. I know you got some questions for Charlie.
Charlie, first of all, congratulations. I love your Jesse Orozco moment, throwing a glove straight up in the air when the Mets won their World Series. That's for Dave. But what I was most impressed was you dealt with that. You had a 59-pitch game against Danbury. That means you're going to come in and throw strikes. So I know that coach is thinking, I got this guy. I can bring him in. He's going to throw strikes. Are you worried a little bit about the adrenaline when you're out in the bullpen? Because, again, adrenaline is a bad thing for pitchers because the ball tends to come up. How did you deal with that?
Yeah, in the bullpen, I was way more nervous than actually on the mound, because once I was on the mound, it was like, okay, I've been here before. I know I just need to settle in. And I've been very proud of my strike-throwing ability this year, so I knew that I wasn't going to walk it. I was just going to get out. Pitching to contact with this defense is great.
And that's a great thing, and I'm going to give that to your coaches or someone that's coached you during the year. Most kids now with Driveline and all these velocity universities think about, I got to throw hard, I got to throw hard, I got to get strikeouts. You talking about pitching to contact, that's amazing. Where did you learn that?
Yeah, I guess let me think. I guess with Coach Vigilio this offseason, and Coach Kevin Morton, who is our pitching coach, we were just focusing on strike throwing, and they're two coaches who they don't care about velocity. It's a result-based game where if you throw strikes and you get out, that's what matters the most. If you walk 10 kids but you're throwing 95, it doesn't matter because you'll get yanked. But I guess just me knowing that if strikes will win games, and my coaches have told me the entire year, it's just get outs, and we trust you to do that.
And that plays right into what Jack said after the game. He says, we play great defense. Does that make it easy for you as a pitcher to pitch to contact?
Yeah, it's great. Especially our outfield has been phenomenal the entire year. Both Langreff brothers and Jack, they really didn't even make an error the entire year out there. And it's just great where any ball in the outfield will be caught. It gives me confidence as a pitcher. I don't really need to, like, paint the corners or really sequence too much, because if they hit it, it's just going, our guys will catch it.
That's a great feeling as a pitcher.
Yep.
How did you prepare, knowing that you'd been a starter during the week, you knew you were getting the balls on Monday, now you don't know when you're going to pitch? How were your bullpens? What did you do? Flat grounds? What did you do to get ready for this?
Yeah, Coach McFarland and I really agreed earlier in the year that every day before one of my starts or before a game that we thought I was going to pitch, we'd do a short box bullpen, flat ground, 30 feet, just throw strikes. Don't even need to throw the ball hard. Just get it in there just so you can mentally see the ball going. Just like a 20-pitch short box, and doesn't even make you sore, and it really sets you up pretty well for the next day. Low intent.
Oh, that's fast. Well, I love shorties. We call those shorties. That's great. Coach does a great job.
Yep.
Well, Charlie, you got to live a moment that few do, and your story was just – yeah, sensational, and I'm sure they would have been happy no matter who was going to be on the mound, but the fact that it was you and everything you've done this whole year and the situation couldn't happen to a better guy. So congratulations to the team. Congratulations to you, and you're going to have a lot of memories for the summer. Thanks for taking a little time here.
Yep, thank you.
Okay, that was Charlie Fitch, and Ratch, 20 years, Jack McFarland is the veteran coach in the league. I don't know if people can appreciate how hard it is just to get to six finals, let alone to win one, and in Jack's case, three.
Yeah, he's created standards. He's created expectations. And what's nice is the talent is bought in. He's got people there that look to get kids ready for Staples High School. Not necessarily so interested in winning Little League games or games on the younger level. And that's a huge key. Brett did that in Fairfield. Trumbull has a nice feeder program. That makes it easier on a coach because now you can teach the finesse part of the game as opposed to teaching the basics of the game. So hats off for them for doing it. Hats off to his staff. He always has a really good staff, really good baseball people that communicate with their players because he has a big roster. When you come in, they come in, they have a huge roster. And how do you keep 20 kids, 23 kids happy? I mean, there are years I didn't have 23 kids in my program. He comes in with 23 kids on the varsity. So a testament to them, a testament to the community that buys into what he's selling and embraces it.
And you talk about that community, and you got it, had it in Danbury. All coaches, for the most part, have it, but few have had the long-term success that there's been in Westport. And you look at the game yesterday, and you had people who played on the team. Chad Knight, their former Gatorade Player of the Year, and one of their one of their best players in program history. He's there. You have town dignitaries. That's when you know you don't have a team, you have a program.
Tremendous, tremendous point. And that raises up the level of expectation for your players that are current and your players that are on the JV and the freshmen that aspire to go up and play for Coach Jack. Again, my goal at Danbury was to make baseball an event. Not something you went by. Football's an event. It's once a week. It's exciting. So we wanted to do that. They've done that. Trumbull, Staples, Fairfield, they've made baseball an event. People stay and watch. There's music. There's scoreboard. There's things to do. Hats off to them.
Okay, well, we're going to take a break. And on the other side, there was another great relief performance in the Rutgers win yesterday and in the Rutgers semifinal win, Fairfield-Ludlow. And that came from Lucas Snow, and he's going to join us on the other side. You're listening to Bats and Sticks on WICC.
The Rooten Report Live presents Bats and Sticks, a look at Connecticut high school baseball, softball, and lacrosse with Dave Rooten on WICC 600 and 95.9, the voice of Connecticut.
Okay, we're back, and we're still talking Staples baseball and their 3-2 win yesterday over Trumbull in 8 innings, and relief pitching was the key, and we talked to Charlie Fitch, who closed out the game, and if I had to give an MVP for the entire state tournament for the Staples team, I think it's a pretty easy choice despite a lot of great performances. But he appeared in four of the final five games and over 11 innings, allowed seven hits and just one run. Absolute brilliant pitching throughout and did another great job yesterday in four innings setting the table for Charlie Fitch to get the save, and that's Lucas Snow, and he joins us right now. Lucas, how you doing?
Doing good. How are you?
I'm doing all right. Probably not as well as you. You've had I asked Charlie the same question. You had almost 24 hours now to digest this. What's going through your mind?
Yeah, I mean, I'm still in shock, the fact that the whole season has come down to this, and we actually got it done. I'm still in awe. Hasn't set in yet.
Can you appreciate just how great a tournament you had and what you were able to do to come in? You came into two pressure situations this past week, and you put fires out right away. Trumbull had just tied the game yesterday, and you came in with two runners on, no outs, got out of the jam. And you had the same situation trailing against Ludlow 3-1, and you didn't allow them to score again, and your team rallied it for an 8-3 victory. But can you appreciate, I know it's hard talking to you about yourself, but can you appreciate just how great a job you did?
Yeah, I mean, looking back on it now, it's all, you know, done and finished. I definitely appreciated it a little bit more. But, you know, when I was doing it, you know, I was just locked in on every pitch. I didn't even realize, you know, how well I was really doing. But, yeah, now looking back on it, pretty proud of myself for that.
Yeah, you should be. Is it any different pitching in a state championship than the three games before? You're all in elimination games, but is it different? There's a little bit more of a spotlight on you in a state championship. Did yesterday feel any different when you came in?
Yeah, no, it was definitely the most nervous I've ever been in my life. Going in against Hall in the second round, I'd been pretty nervous just because they were the sixth seed, and we were up one when I went in to pitch. But the next two games, I felt pretty fine. Ludlow, I felt pretty fine. So going into the state tournament, I thought, you know, it might hopefully be like Ludlow. My nerves were calmed down, but you know, as the game went on and I realized I was probably going to go in, the nerves definitely spiked to a level they haven't before.
The only run you allowed was Braden Jago's home run and with one out in the seventh. And take me through, because I know that was a negative moment for you, but you still have to come back. It's a tie game, and there's only one out, and you came back and retired the next two batters. And that may seem like insignificant to others, but it's not. But take me through what it was like when the ball went over the fence and then your mindset, because you got to deal with that disappointment and come back, because if they score another run, you lose.
No, yeah. I mean, it was definitely pretty difficult. You know, we'd played Trumbull before, and I started against them. And when I faced Jago, I think I had two or three strikeouts. So I felt really confident going into that game if I had to face him. I got him out the first time around, but then, I mean, once he hit that ball, there was just a bunch of emotions. I mean, it felt like it was over for me, and then, you know, I realized it's still a tie game. We still have one of the best offenses in the state. I just have to get through these two batters, you know, to get them back around. You know, we'd still be fine.
Well, you did a great job, and you actually beat them during the regular season. You were the starting pitcher. I was there for your 11-1 win. So you, against a really, really good team, was able to beat them twice. Ratch, jump on in.
Yeah, where'd you end up in the pile after the game?
I think, well, so once the pile started around Fitch, because, you know, he threw the final pitch, I think I went to my catcher first. And then I went to the dog pile. I think I was kind of in the middle. So I wasn't hurting too bad compared to the people on the bottom. So it was a good median.
That's fantastic. Now, Coach has said some amazing things about you. Talks about your resilience and effusive in his praise of you. How does that make you feel? Because you're coming from a storied program as Dave talked about earlier, four state championships, three with Jack, and knowing a Chad Knight and all the people are in the audience. How does that make you feel that coach just speaks very highly of you?
Yeah, I mean, it feels awesome. You know, I've looked up to McFarland since I got in this program freshman year. You know, I wasn't, you know, on the state championship teams my freshman or sophomore year. So I don't really know what this would feel like, but to have this experience and to have it with the coaches and players around me and have them supporting me, I mean, it just made it that much easier.
Excellent. You get the big K in the fourth inning, bases loaded, and I watch you go out for the fifth. Does that make it easier? Are you a little different after getting the big K with the bases loaded, or did that not change anything?
I mean, the K was huge. It definitely felt good because, I also felt like I'd been, you know, squeezed on a couple calls that at bat. So getting that K felt really good. It was a huge confidence booster, especially against a good batter like Leonzi. And then once we put a run up in the top of the fifth, just felt great for me.
Yeah, you could see it in your body language. I love that, watching kids and watching players go out and now knowing I'm going to deal, as opposed to let's see what happens, I'm going to deal. Did that happen in that moment?
Yeah, I mean, definitely a little bit. Not as much as I would like, because I'm still super nervous, wondering game. I was hoping for a little bit more insurance, but I just had to trust my stuff and know that pitch by pitch I could, you know, get us there.
Well, you did it, and you did a great job. I hope you have time to enjoy it and be proud. You seem to be a very humble young man, but, boy, did Staples get to ride your back.
Thank you so much.
Is it a lot different going from having a starter's mentality to a relief pitcher mentality, and what is that difference?
Yeah, I mean, I'd say it's a lot more nerve-wracking. At the start of the season, the first couple games, I think I was more of a reliever, and that was pretty nerve-wracking too. Then I got switched to more of a starter throughout the middle of the season. Probably got like 7 or 8 starts, or 5 or 6. But coming into the playoffs, especially realizing that we have Cole Landgraf back, I knew my spot would be a reliever. So it was just, you know, about going to sleep knowing that there was a good chance I was going to come in the next day. It was just about having a good mindset throughout that whole day, as opposed to, you know, not being ready when I'm coming into the game.
This might be a hard question, final question for you to answer right now. It'll be different soon, but what do you think years from now you're going to remember most about this team?
I mean, I think, you know, it's obviously great that we won the state championship, but I mean, the people I did it with, I think that's what I'm going to remember the most. I mean, teammates around me I've been playing with for 10 years or over. So I've known them my whole life, basically. And I mean, to do this with them, I mean, that's something I'm going to remember forever, 100%.
Well, Lucas, you had an absolutely brilliant 2 weeks, another great performance yesterday, and you've had a great season. So congratulations. You have a lot to remember and a lot to feel good about. And, yeah, congrats on all you did, and thanks for taking the time here.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me on.
Okay, that was Lucas Snow. And, Ratch, any final thoughts on Staples or anything from the season? How great is it for the FCAC? You get two teams in the final, and we have another FCAC champion winning the state playoffs.
It's great for baseball. You know, the FCAC's become the evil empire, how people look at maybe a Yankees or a Cowboys when they're in their prime. And it just makes other people better. It rises up the teams around because they're looking to, I got to get these reps in today because we're going to play Staples, we're going to play Trumbull, we're going to play Fairfield Ward, Ludlow, we're going to play Greenwich, Danbury, we're going to play somebody, Norwalk. So it helps baseball all around. And the coaches, this is a great, a well coach. I'm not taking away anything from anywhere else. I want to send a congratulations out to Joe Garbowski and New Fairfield, a little part of Ellis on a great win. But baseball has benefited from someone to chase, someone to go after. So hats off to them.
Rutch, it's just been an incredible ride. I couldn't have asked for a better co-host for the show, the baseball portion of it. Your expertise, the questions you ask the players and coaches, your prep, everything about it. There's a reason you had the great success you did as a coach. And after year one, great success as well as a radio co-host. And I can't thank you enough for all you did. And I hope you're going to do it again next year. We'll have contract negotiations real soon.
Yeah, my lawyers will talk to you. It's been my pleasure. You make it easy. You make it real easy, Dave. You do so much for sports and athletics. I'm glad you're able to do what you love. It shows, and you've been a pleasure to work with, so thank you.
Okay, well, I'm going on vacation, then we're going to go out for a nice dinner, and I may have to go from like Italian to steakhouse and tomahawk, so I get you back next year. But you have a great summer, and thanks again for all you've done and all you do.
You're welcome. Thank you very much.
Okay, that was Sean Ratchford, and we're going to close out the show with, as I said before, girls lacrosse is a different sport from other sports in that you get to play not just in-state but out-of-state, so you end up playing the best teams in the country. And yesterday, Darianne closed out a 22-0 perfect season with a 13-4 win over New Canaan. And we're going to have Anna Von Kennel and Haven Moneypenny, two of the captains, joining us. You're listening to Bats and Sticks on WICC.
Let's hear what Dave Rudin has to say about this week in high school baseball, softball, and lacrosse. You're listening to Bats and Sticks on the Voice of Connecticut, WICC 600 and 95.9.
Okay, we're back, and I can't think of two better people to close out the spring season and the school year than the pair joining me right now. Two of the leaders, captains from a 22-0 perfect Darianne girls lacrosse team, helped win their team's 14th state title yesterday. And that's Anna Von Kennel and Haven Moneypenny. Girls, how you doing?
You're good. How are you?
I'm doing okay. I'm going to ask you the same question first that I asked the Staples baseball players. You've had about 24 hours to digest what you accomplished. How's it feel?
I'm still in shock, I think, of what we've accomplished and that the season's over. I don't think it hasn't hit me that we don't have practice tomorrow.
Yeah, I mean, this program's just been, like, a huge part of our lives for 4 years. So, yeah, like what Anna says, not going to practice tomorrow is a little crazy.
Haven, you and some of your other players on the back don't get as much attention because the media tends to focus on who scores the goals more than who helps stop them. But did you think the team was really capable of going undefeated? Because I remember talking to your coach, and I know there were a couple of question marks because of the inexperience with a few people, new starters, that had to replace some really good players from last year.
Yeah, I mean, I think other people didn't think we were going to be as good as we were this year, but kind of from our first couple practices and having played with these girls for a while now, I knew we were going to be great. And I think it was really awesome to see so many underclassmen step up throughout the season. We always talk about how diverse and capable our team is. You can really put anyone on the field and they're going to get the job done. So kind of getting to see that and seeing just a really well-rounded group of girls play was really awesome this year.
And I was editing Mike Fornabio's story, who covered the game for me yesterday. And I love the fact that Lisa Lindley, your coach, recounted the story at the beginning of the season where you said, I want to go undefeated. Take me back to that moment when you did that. And what led you to believe? A lot of times you just want to win an FCAC championship and win a state championship. You're talking about being perfect.
I think in this program, you lose so rarely, and the losses you can count on like one or two hands. So for me, I just knew it was what we were capable of, and I saw the effort that every single girl on the team was putting in the off season, and that's what made me so sure of it almost, because it didn't have anything to do with our competition. It had everything to do with ourselves and our own capability. And I just think that it was a special group, and you saw that from when summer started and the fields were full of people working hard till when it was March and snowy and people were still outside and still determined to get things done. So when she asked me my goals undefeated, I was like, it's a hard thing to do and it's definitely ambitious, but I knew we could do it.
And you've done it now twice in 4 years, which is really, really remarkable.
Yeah.
You go into yesterday's game, And everybody thought, it, just based on what you've done, you beat New Canaan twice fairly handily, and now you're going in and everybody's expecting you to win. What's it like? It's almost like if you don't win, not only do you have to win, but if you don't win by enough goals, it's not as appreciated as much. What's the mindset going in when everybody expects you to win?
I think it was definitely hard just from the perspective of New Canaan had nothing to lose and we kind of had everything to lose from an outside perception. But we talked as a team before and we kind of all knew, like, regardless of the outcome of the game, we weren't going to let one result dictate and take away from everything we've done that whole season. So we just, the seniors especially, we just wanted to go play and have fun for 48 more minutes and give all we could. And if we got to win, we got to win.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I think that we've kind of had a target on our backs ever since we beat St. Anthony's at the beginning of the season. So it definitely was a pressure that we were used to. And I also think a lot of girls like to use it as fuel and gives us a new challenge going into every game. So I think it was more just excitement rather than nerves.
If you could both talk about, if I had a talent level aside, and the talent on this team was absolutely incredible, and credit to the returning starters, credit to the girls who were first-year starters, and credit to the two of you and Jane and Cam for the leadership you provided. But if you ask me what was the most impressive part about this team, I would say it's the focus, the killer instinct. You, all your in-state games, you won pretty handily, and in every one of those games, you guys got off to a good start. You didn't give an underdog the chance to play evenly with you and feel like they had a chance to win. You jumped on them right away. Just talk a little bit about both the focus and the killer instinct this team had.
Yeah, I mean, we always talk before games about scoring that first goal and then stay and just keep shooting. And I think kind of not letting other teams get the lead really helped us throughout the entire season, but helped us build on our game and have confidence when playing on attack that we could try out new plays, try out new people, and just keep shooting and scoring.
What are you going to remember both about this team and your last year playing Darien LaCrosse?
For me, I will genuinely miss being around these people 6 days a week. To think that we don't have practice tomorrow and I don't get to be around not only my best friends, but the hardest working people I've ever met is so sad. This has by far been my favorite sports team I've been a part of at Darien High School, any season, any sport. It just was a little bit different, and that might be because it's my last season here, but for me, it was the people make the place and the people make the memories for sure.
Yeah, I mean, same for me. I've been obviously a part of this program for 4 years, and I think it's been such a big part of my life, not only getting to spend every moment with my best friends and playing the sport I love, but to be get coached by Lisa. I mean, we also talk about we can't believe she's never going to be our coach again. She's been such a mentor to us. So it's all super bittersweet. But, yeah, this program's been really special. The Wave Girl Max family is awesome.
What's it going to be like? You're not going to hear Lisa's voice yelling from the sideline or I don't get to go to practices. I know what that's like. You're going to what's that going to be like? You're not going to hear that voice anymore.
Oh gosh. I mean,
I
we all at least
imagine it.
Yeah. It's tough love from her. Yeah. But we always talk, like, whenever girls come back to the program, all they talk about is how much they miss Lisa. So I know that we're going to miss her a ton, too.
Well, she does it because she knows what you guys are capable of. And she did an absolutely brilliant job coaching this team. And that's because she had great players and captains like the two of you. So congratulations on a great year, a great career. And thanks for being my final guest of the year. Anavon Kennel and Haven Money Penny. Have a good summer,
thank
girls.
Thank you so much for everything. Thanks for having us.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
And that's the final episode of Bats and Sticks and the end of the Gouliere for me. I'm going to take a little bit of a break. We're brought to you by Duchess Restaurants, fresh food served fast. Thank you to everybody who was on the show. Thanks to my co-hosts, Sean Ireland, Mike Walsh, and Sean Ratchford during the year. Have a good summer, everybody. We'll be back for football end of August.